Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A storytelling festival is coming to Knoxville this fall. Let's learn more about it and go in depth with Nola Vasquez, organizer from Knoxville, and storyteller Pat Coffey. Well, Nola, you're in the beginning stages of planning a big storytelling event in Knoxville. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
My fiance and I went to Jonesboro, Tennessee. And many years ago, I had heard about storytelling via a PBS special. And so it was just enough to ignite my curiosity. And many years later, I said, let's go to the Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And we went. We had a really fabulous time at the event. And I love the medium of storytelling because there's always something you can relate to. The other aspect I really enjoyed of the festival was the fact that I didn't have to do a whole lot to get something out of it. I didn't walk away from the festival worn out because I had been everywhere and traveled, and, you know, it's just effortless. And I really just truly enjoyed the experience, and the stories came home with me. So I put this festival together thinking that this is something that the community can enjoy. It's something that is, you know, you'll walk away from the event just knowing that it was a great experience. You'll take that home with you and want to come back the next year, I believe.
Well, and just remarkably fast, it seems, you've put together quite a list of storytellers, some pretty interesting people.
Yes. We've been really successful in having tellers say, I want to come to Knoxville, Iowa for the first ever event. And it's really exciting because they are quite diverse. My good friend Pat Coffey came in and said, this is what my experience is, and as well as Maureen. And so we've got some really good experience behind the project. And it's very exciting.
And I know that everything hasn't been finalized, but do you have sort of a ballpark date to tell people to get to prepare for?
Halloween weekend. We're looking at the 1st of November, which is a Friday, and taking storytellers into the schools, and then on Saturday, an all-day event, as well as likely Halloween stories on Friday evening.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Nola Vasquez and storyteller Pat Coffey. Pat, you're going to be one of the storytellers at the event.
I am. I have a good time with this. Each story is an opportunity to travel along with the storyteller for a while and come back the same person, but a little bit different because of the story you've heard.
Well, and where are you from?
I am from Waverly, Iowa, but I was born and raised in Des Moines. I am Iowa fifth generation on both sides, so I don't know that there's anyone more Iowan than I am.
Well, and it's just sort of serendipitous that you are coming through Knoxville this weekend prior to the storytelling event. Where are you heading?
I'm going to the Ballard family reunion by St. Mary's this afternoon. That's my dad's side of the family. They were in Iowa by 1855.
Well, and can you tell us about some of your past storytelling experiences? Where have you been? What are some of the highlights of your storytelling career?
I'm really glad that I fell in with these storytellers about 1976, formally, because that's when I became the director of the library in Waverly and participated in the Cedar River Storytellers Festival. And I've been wandering around with them ever since. I went to China with the storytellers, went to Hawaii, I've been to all of the states, and traveling with the storytellers to the various festivals is such a pleasure because they know all those off-the-beaten-path things you want to see in Hawaii or China or wherever you're going.
Well, and storytelling is sort of undergoing a renaissance, isn't it? A lot more people are getting interested in it. I guess people are getting tired of their television and want real people to tell the stories. Is that happening?
I have done several kinds of communication, and storytelling is the one where I look at you and you look at me and we talk together. There's no third party. There's nothing else. There's nothing between us. We're just talking to each other. And I'm listening back as I'm telling, because the audience is part of whatever story is being told.
Well, that's sort of like it was when I was a kid. I mean,
sure,
it's not quite like that anymore. Is that one of the reasons you were interested too? Growing up, we heard a lot more stories. Well, at least I heard a lot more stories than I hear today.
Absolutely. I believe there's a lot to learn from a story, whether it's someone's experience or some idea they had and carried out. It's truly a medium that you can take home with you and maybe put to work or have, gain some information from that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Nola Vasquez and storyteller Pat Coffey. Well, Pat, do you have a story you could tell us? A few minutes story? I know that's sort of a constraint.
This is a story I told at a slam at a five-state gathering. Now, a slam is where we tell high-intensity personal stories not more than 5 minutes long. When I was raising my boys, I took them and went down to Iowa City to get my master's degree in library science so I could get a job where I could raise my boys. And I promised that when I graduated and got a job and got a house, they could each have a pet. Dan chose a dog. Chris chose a cat. And then it seems in hardly the blink of an eye, those boys were grown and gone, and now I had a dog. And I had a cat. Dan said, "Mom, she'll make a good watchdog for you." And I said, "Okay." Chris said, "Remember, Mom, the cat's really good about going on point when a bat gets in the house." I said, "Yeah, that's handy." And they left. It took me a while to realize that my house creaked and popped and snapped. And it was just the house settling and resettling. I used to say that must be one of the boys up. But now I'd gotten used to it. I had the dog and the cat, and one night I was in bed reading. It was almost midnight. I'd just about finished the last chapter I was going to read that night and then turn out the only light in the house and go to sleep when I heard the door to the house open. I got up out of bed and made my way to the dining room where there was a man leaning against the dining room table. And I said, "Is there something I can help you with?" Now, I know you're all thinking immediately, why in the world would she end that sentence with a preposition? All I can say is it was almost midnight and he was unexpected. Now the drunk turned toward me and said, "They said it's a green one on the corner." I said, "This one is white." He said, "Oh, okay then." Turned around, made his way back out through the door onto the porch, stepped over the sleeping watchdog, went out the screen door. I followed him, also stepping over the sleeping watchdog, hooked the screen door, stepped back over the sleeping watchdog, came back in the house, locked that door, went to bed. The next day I called Dan. I said, "About that watchdog." And I told him the story. He said, "Mom, did the guy knock?" I said, "No, I don't believe so." He said, "Well, there you have it. If he'd knocked, she'd have barked." I called my youngest son and told him the story, and he said, "Lock the door, Mom." Now, I've had people ask me if I called the police and 911 and all that, and you know, that's not always the answer. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way, and I'm pleased to live in Iowa where sometimes you can just do that.
And it's no big deal. It must have been scary, though.
Not till the next day. For the most part, I was thinking, dang, that watchdog isn't watching much.
Well, now, what makes you decide which stories are worth sharing?
Since I tell mostly personal stories, something will happen and it will trigger a memory, a collection of thoughts, and eventually turn into a story. And I might tell it to you and you would say, that was good. Tell her what you said. And since I was working in the public library, I shut my hand in the car door and broke my fingers. Came to work, had this big glow-in-the-dark blue splint on my fingers. And, of course, people said, what happened? And so as I explained that to them and went through all the steps of realizing I really was going to have to admit that I had shut my own hand in the car door, people would say, tell her what you said about your hand. And she would say, tell my husband what you said about your hand. And pretty soon it became a story. Now, stories are not always born full-blown. Something happens, something else happens, another thing happens, and pretty soon you go, well, that's a story. So I can talk about one part of Iowa's history from the Tallgrass Prairie through the family farm into the apartments in the cities in Family Stories and Fire. And that didn't come all at once. Gradually, I saw the connection.
And that's another set of stories, or is that one story?
I can tell it as three different stories, or I can tell it as one, and I call it Discovering Fire, generation after generation after generation.
Are you going to tell that story when you come to Knoxville?
I need to double check since it's true and those people are still living and say, I want to tell it in this way at this place and see what they say.
Do you ever want to exaggerate or elaborate, or is that part of the storytelling process? Because sometimes we can think of a story and we can think of, oh, it would be even better if this happened.
That's why we have liars contests. But when I start out and I say, I'm going to tell you one of the stories my dad told me about working with the mules on the place his great-great-great-grandfather homesteaded on the banks of the North Skunk River near Story City, Iowa, even seasoned storytellers say, you're making that up, aren't you? So I take a map along and say, see right there, Skunk River, Story City. I'm not making it up.
Well, and do you think that, and who did you say this was, your grandpa? Your grandpa?
On the Ballard side.
On the Ballard
they
side.
They homesteaded in 1855. When the town was still called Fairview, it is now Story City.
What do you think he would think about you still telling his story from 1855 or 1860, whatever, in 2013?
I think they remain today a very practical family, and they would be surprised that anyone would want to hear about that. When you think you have a story and you want to tell it, you think about it a lot. I mean, a story lives with you for a time, and there might even be some research involved because you double-check. Is he really listed in 1855 near Fairview? And I've got all those historic documents now. And then you think and you think, and then you talk the story through. You can talk it to the lamppost. You can talk it to the dog, but you say it out loud. And then you find some place where you can tell it. And always, always, you are listening back. You are listening back to what you are saying. You are listening back to how the audience is responding. And then you do some putting in and some taking out. And finally, you will have a story.
Now, as you drive on to St. Mary's for the family reunion today, is there a story going around in the back of your mind that you're working on?
Kenny and Helen Ballard were my aunt and uncle. That's my dad's brother. And they farmed in that area for, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years. Kenny's gone now, but Helen is still there. And I tell a story about Kenny and Helen, and I have their permission. I wrote the stories down and gave them to them on their 50th anniversary, so they have them in writing. And they know I talk about them. And I'm going to talk to Aunt Helen again today. These are stories about people you'd like to have as your neighbors, or even your relatives.
And so you're constantly working, constantly thinking, constantly revising. And
yeah, it worries some parts of my family. I've had to reassure them that I can't tell everything I know because I'm not sure I'll get another 72 years, and that's how long it would take. Mm-hmm. So I don't tell everything I know, and I generally ask. For example, one of my brothers took me for a ride on Red Rock Lake, and that's quite a story. He knows I tell that story. I have his permission.
And you might tell that when you come back to Knoxville?
I think you all would really enjoy it, being this close to Red Rock.
Well, this is going to be quite an event, Nolan, the first time, and you hope it continues over the years, grows, and people find joy, delight, interest in it?
I do. I think it's really great to have something to look forward to year after year and be able to pick up the phone and call the kids and say, hey, come home. We have this really cool event this weekend. And, and then to be able to ruminate over those stories throughout the year. So I'm real excited about this project. I'm excited to meet Pat Coffey and all of the other tellers that come to Knoxville. And they are thrilled to have the opportunity to come to Knoxville as well.
Thanks to Nola Vasquez and Pat Coffey for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.